This is episode 171 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel Johnny Rico Manzano.
Come on, boys. Do you want to live forever?
Will, who needs a knife in a bullseye's fight? Haigwood.
The enemy cannot fire a bullseye if you disable their hand.
And Ryan, hyperspace is safer space? Stanisuski?
Yep. When you're feeling blue and you can't deal with the bugs, go to hyperspace. They got less tools.
There you go. So today we're going to be talking about, of course, what happened at the Dathomir event, the qualifier for the Galactic Championships. Was a great event. Lots to talk about in there, and my goal is by the end of this to hopefully those of you in the competitive scene who might be a little bit worried to maybe alleviate some stress. Also, we'll talk about the future, what do we think is happening, and talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the hope, because X-Wing is built on hope. But before we go too far, let me remind you that the ad-free replay of this episode is brought to you by the Gold Squadron patrons. Thank you so much for your guys' support. If you want to become a part of the largest group of supporters we have and receive quarterly gifts sent from me to you, please feel free to visit patreon.com/goldsquadron or type !! Patreon in the chat. All right. As for announcements, remember we're going to be live on Wednesday with Gold Squadron X-Wing League. And this Saturday we have a Gold Squadron Flight Club. And, of course, after that, Dathomir is the galactic event that we had this weekend. And in 2 weeks, Concord Dawn, the Australian qualifier. Should be interesting to see the reaction to what happened at Dathomir, as well as the fact that it is going to be a smaller pool of players, at least compared to the last two events. We'll see what happens there. If you want to get a ticket, go to GoldSquadronPodcast.com. But we are talking about the top 32 lists here. But before we do that, let's talk about your guys' experiences. Marcel and Will, both of you played, correct?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So what lists did you bring? Let's start with you, Will.
I brought a variation of the spam techs. I had replaced one of the Predator Nantechs. I kept the 5 with Crackshot, 2 with Predator, switched out the third one with Predator to an Ion Torpedo 4-4 in the Hyena.
All right.
I ended up, I got 4 straight wins right off the bat. Lost a mirror match with a bid against 6 Nantechs. I was just outflown being first player. Then had a really close game against Hollow and 3 silencers. And I just could not get my bullseyes on those silencers.
And Marcel, what'd you fly?
I flew an oldie but a goodie, my old Luke Wedge Alpha Strike and AP5 with Leia. So that's Luke. Well, it's Wedge with afterburners and proton torpedoes. Mm-hmm. Luke with afterburners, proton torpedoes, and chopper astromech, so he can, you know, do fun shenanigans with the different things that you can do with that. And just
so that's AP5. Specifically, maybe for somebody who's not aware of that, you can actually use chopper to regen via the ion torpedo charges, right? Or something like that?
No. Well, yeah. So basically you've got 4 charges. You've got 2 torpedo charges. You've got 2 afterburner charges. And then with chopper, it allows you to take an action to pull a charge, convert it into a shield for regen. Or you can burn 2 shields to convert it into an extra charge. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. If you're at the end of the game and you really need to get some damage in and you're still unhurt, you can just pull 2 shields, get an extra torpedo, and launch it. You can pull 2. You can AP5, pull the shields to give yourself a third torpedo, move, and then a chopper again to regenerate a shield with your afterburner, or you can just literally like afterburner boost target lock to get your torpedoes off. So it gives it a lot of flexibility. In worst case scenario, you can even regen four times, like burn off four charges to regen four shields.
Very cool. So lots of flexibility there. That was really cool.
I ended up going 5-1, mm-hmm. and I lost to the undefeated McDowell. The Irish team captain.
There you go. All right.
He was flying the five bombers, yeah. So
all right, cool. Stuff. We'll get there in a second. So we're about to go through the top 32 lists, and the ones that are maybe commonplace. We'll kind of zoom through those. Really what I want to spend our time on really discussing and tearing apart is those lists that were maybe just a little bit different, a new twist. Because there are definitely some people who brought creative lists that were either answers to the Nantex that they were worried about or counters, right? Possible lists that could beat the list that people were bringing to beat the Nantex. So really interesting, as well as the variations on the Nantex list, right? Because we go back to Corellia, Bohan won with six Nantex. And yes, Fawn did also win this event with six, but there were quite a few variations, including, for instance, Will was talking about bringing a 404. Some different variations that we're going to get to come across here. So let's get started. We're starting at number 32, and that's with Alexander Yao bringing an Imperial list here with Soonterfell with Predator, Darth Vader, Fire Control System, a Saber Squadron Ace. That's an Interceptor. Naked. I believe that's also the initiative 4-1, right, guys? Am I correct about that? Right, so that is right there. A direct response to the Nantex, as those Petrani Aces are at initiative 4. And then Gideon Hask in the TIE Fighter with a bid of 191. So 191 coming underneath the bid of all of the Nantex that were brought. We did double check that. And having some answers there. Not entirely sure of all the matchups, but did have some tools. Of course, we know that Vader hits super hard and Soontir is good at being Soontir, right? Very maneuverable, very defensive, and having four ships in a matchup versus Nantex would seem to be advantageous, especially when most Imperial Ace lists are only three lists. Excuse me, not three lists, three, what you call it? Three ships. All right, Will, take the next one. Matthew Collette.
All right, this is another Galactic Empire list with a Juke, Rexler Breath, in the Defender, and two Juke Passive Sensors Phantoms. These Sigma Squadrons are the Initiative 4s as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think the I-3s get talents. So this one did not take a bid, but with the combination of Jukes can really push some damage through. And the passive sensors allowing these guys to take target locks as well.
Marcel, take the next one. This is where we start seeing the resurgence of a pilot that many people were trying to make work.
All right, we've got Dash Rendar with Biston, Perceptive Co-Pilot, and Hera Syndulla. With the VCX Intimidation, Advanced Sensors, Zeb, and Sagrera. That's my favorite version of Hero, by the way. Comes in at 198 points. Dash is a little thin without the Outrider, but Hero kind of makes up for it with being able to punch hard.
So let's take a moment.
Very good tech.
Let's take a moment and talk about Biston and how that works, because that might be a gunner card that people might not be familiar with.
Okay, with the Biston?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Biston, it's a gunner crew that allows you to shoot a different target. Now, it's different than the veteran turret gunners or all the other like second shoot ones that says you have to shoot from a different arc. This uh-huh. one says that you have to shoot a different ship. So against the Nantex, it works out really well because they're usually flying in some type of close proximity to one another. So you can shoot one. Spend your focus if you want to, And then with Perceptive Copilot, you've got a second focus. And as long as you have a second focus on you, it says, or a focus on you, it says you may shoot again a different target that you have not already shot. So basically, you're taking two forward eye shots at these Nantex at initiative 5 with Dash, and then Hero's coming in with a third forward eye shot to do some damage, hopefully knock one or two of them out.
Now, I mean, best case scenario, you could get three.
I think realistically, you're probably looking at killing one and getting one or two damage on the second, realistically.
Right.
The dice gods might be on your side, and you kill 100 points in one turn.
All right. So here we go. Another list is a scum list Ryan's going to take a look at here.
So we have, I'm not sure how you pronounce the name. Is it Dewe Chua?
We'll call him Chua.
Chua. Brought one of my favorite pilots, Ketsu Onyo, in the Lancer class Pursuit Craft, running a Fearless Forlom Contraband Cybernetics in the Shadowcaster title. Guri with Advanced Sensors and Outmaneuver. And then Sarasu with Marksmanship and Auto Thrusters. I'd be curious to see how this one was flown, where Sarasu was kind of helping out, whether Sarasu was helping Ketsu or Guri more, or if they were all moderately close together. But I think we've seen Ketsu with Sarasu plus something, whether it's Fen or Guri, in the past. Not that often, though. 200 points, and I think solid across the board. Dewey. Okay, thank you. And Guri could definitely be a good pilot right now. Outmaneuver probably triggering a little less, but at least Advanced Sensors gives Guri the choice of where she wants to go.
Yeah, cool. Initiative 5s. I'm not muted now, so I'll continue going. That's all right. I just alley-ooped a question there to Ryan. Classic. It wouldn't be a Gold Squadron podcast episode without me talking at least one time while being muted on the stream. Anyway, so next we have Kaylin Pritchard, who took a resistance list. We have Ray and ZZ and Nian Num there. ZZ only taking heroic, no optics. That probably makes Marcel a little sad not seeing any optics out there. But that gives a little bit of room to fit in 9 Num and an X-Wing pattern analyzer just with the F-foils and heroic. Ray, of course. Bringing Finn, that's stapled, Ray Millennium's Falcon title for some flexibility there on the boosting, as well as slooping while stressed. Amelin Holdo giving the ability to pass some tokens around, and Rose Tico for that target lock flexibility. I really like this list. Lots of flexibility. Even though ZZ doesn't have optics, because she's able to pick up that extra token after shooting or defending, that still gives ZZ a lot of staying power in the list. And 9 Num has a lot of answers to the repositions that the Nantex can do off of K-turns and what are those things called? Talon rolls, off those red maneuvers, being able to use pattern analyzer and get extra actions. I really, really like that. Next, Tim King, another resistance list.
All right, this one as well has Ray with Rose, Finn. This one opting for Corsella, Cybernetics, Self Device, and Ray's Millennium Falcon. Followed with ZZ with Heroic Crackshot Advanced Optics, and Tally Heroic Crackshot Advanced Optics. So this is a thick Ray, but between Corsella allowing you to essentially hide on top of debris, you can clear all your stress, allowing you to take an action after you hit a debris, and Stealth Device, and Finn, you could potentially get 4 evades at range 2, which is pretty good. That'll help keep Ray alive quite a bit. And then you have 2 A-Wings for some ace play at the end.
All right, Marcel, we get one of our Space Jam champions here, Timo Lars Rabe.
Timo, I actually got to play Timo in the round of 32. He was flying Boba with Composure, Jamming Bean, Maul, Proton Bombs, all upgrade and Slave 1, and Dengar with Marksmanship, Proton Auto Blasters, L3, Han Solo, and Contraband Cybernetics. Very similar to what he won the Space Jam with, if I'm not mistaken, with the exception that Boba got more expensive, so he lost some points, plus he lost some toys like Fearless. But yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of good tech against Nantex. I don't know if he went against any Nantex, but he had some good tech against Nantex. Yeah, really, really, really good list. It's a solid two ships.
Well, I mean, I would say that the idea here, right, is Boba still does what Boba does. He has the flexibility of Slave mm-hmm. 1, doesn't have to commit anywhere, probably trying to get range 3 shots where possible, and Dengar just punches things in the face.
Yeah. I mean, it comes in, and again, I don't know how he did during the initial Swiss. I think he just got a really bad matchup against me. I had a 5-6, just like he did, with a better bid. Mm-hmm. But I can see how he would be giving initiative 4 and under a really, really bad time.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Let's keep going here. We got another Imperial list for Brian Lurg.
So Brian Lurg, a 197-point Imperial with Soontir Fel, with Predator only, so very light Soontir. Vader with the standard fire control system and afterburners. And then a singular TIE bomber with barrage rockets, the Scimitar Squadron pilot, so the I-2 generic. And then a planetary Sentinel Striker I-1. So just a couple of guys who can bring some 3-die attacks, the Scimitar not allowing that range 3 bonus with the barrage rockets, and then the Sentinel providing some squirrely maneuvering blocks, and then good, actually solid time on target for a ship with just a front arc because of the ailerons and the unique sloops and 1K turn to provide that range 1 4 dice.
Yeah, I'd be interested to pick Brian's brain and ask him how effective that Sentinel was, because we've talked about it before, maybe for somebody who might not know, blocking the Nantex, because we're specifically, everybody has been wondering, like, how do you answer Nantex, right? So we have to kind of put it in that context. They're not blockable in the sense that they can still shoot you by taking a tractor, barrel rolling off, or boosting past you even sometimes. I'd just be curious to see how that actually got used, and if he was able to play against any Nantex in those matchups. Just an idea at the top of that thought. All right, next we get to Min Fan. So here we have a 1, 2, 3, 4 X-Wing, T-70 X-Wing list, the Blue Squadron rookies with BB Astromechs, giving some of that barrel roll action before you move. Whenever you, I think there's, what, 2 charges on there or just 1? BB is 1, right? BB-8 is 2. And then
2 charges.
2 charges.
BB-8 is 3.
Oh, there you go. But look, it's like I just got extra charges. Thank you.
No, BB-8 is 2 also. I think BB-8 just lets you boost.
Is that the difference?
That's right.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Right.
And then Rose Tico keeping those friendly ships in the front arc in order to have some rerolls. You know, this is a list that encompasses what some people are a little bit worried about right now, right? Is spamming generics is really good. They're low-costed, and bringing these 4 ships, these 4 X-Wings, that's a lot of firepower, a lot of health. Again, another one where I would love to be able to pick Min's brain, just ask where... How many of those Nantex lists did he play against? Because this seems to have some really good jousting efficiency. And if you're not having to worry about things like Ensnare, because the Nantex aren't bringing that because it's too expensive, this seems like it might have some good answers just to have a huge cone of death out there. I like it. All right, next, Wilhelm Force.
Will, it's your turn.
When's Marcel gonna get to go?
Wait, did I skip Marcel?
I'll do this one.
I don't know. I'll take it, I guess. It's Hollow with Proud Tradition, Proton Torpedo Kylo Ren, and two Epsilon Cadet FOs coming in at 194. So basically 5-5-2-2. I think we saw a lot of Hollow Proud Tradition during the whole tournament. I don't know how many of them actually made the cut. But definitely showing up as maybe the, if you're looking at aces, maybe the two most reliable aces on the first order with Hollow and Kylo. Really solid.
We had a total of 5 Proud Traditions used, I believe, in the tournament.
In the tournament? And okay, we'll talk about cuts later. But yeah, I mean, like percentages.
Oh wait, no, sorry, I had the wrong document. One second. Proud. 8.
Okay, that sounds a little.
8 of them.
8.
8.
Okay.
All right, cool. I don't know where we are anymore. I got lost. Somebody take the wheel.
I'll do the next one.
All right. Take the next two because we got just. It's a 6 Nantex list, right?
Yeah, we've seen this come up before. This is Desmond Liu with the Petronaki Arena Aces. Bring in 6 of them, all with Crackshot, 3 with Predator, and 1 with Marksman ship to get to a total of 199. So I think that we've seen the standard being 198 now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it would have cost him the chance to bid against others. Got to go deeper.
Got to go deeper. Maybe, right? Because that was one of the things we talked about last episode is how are people are going to adjust? Are you going to go to 200 or are you going to start bidding lower? If you look at the final, was that the answer? Is it that you do need the bid? I mean, it looked pretty convincing, at least in that matchup.
I went with a 200 points with my Arena Aces, and it, man, you just can't line up any bullseyes against other Nantex. It's just not going to happen. They'll tractor out of that bullseye every time.
Go ahead, take the next one as well.
All right, this is Nicholas Durand with Galactic Empire. This one has a Delta Defender with a heavy laser cannon, 2 Delta Defenders with heavy laser cannons, and Hate Passive Sensors Homing Missile, 5th Brother. People have really been taken to 5th Brother as a way to automatically do damage with those homing missiles. I'm trying to do some bullseye themselves with these Defenders.
I'd be curious to see how much time on target the heavy laser cannons actually got. Because with the defenders, they tend to, like, they liked 4King, right? So that bullseye's in the same spot, essentially, back and forth. And if you're not lined up on the squad, are you going to give up that focus evade? Or I guess one of the tokens, you'd be giving up your focus to barrel or boost to try to guess where the bullseyes are going
to
be?
I assume that's what it's for. Either to catch big formations where you could just shoot the guy in the bullseye, mm-hmm. or to make an ace question his position sitting in your bullseye as well. Plus, when you're 74 points, man, you got to roll a couple 4 dice attacks more than range 1.
You need to help. Get a job. All right. Take the next couple, Ryan.
All right, so we have Carson Ray running the Resistance. Not much of a surprise. Most Resistance lists that were successful ran Ray, and he did as well, with Corsella, Rose Tico, Finn, Contraband Cybernetics, and Ray's Millennium Falcon. ZZ with Heroic, Proton Rockets and Advance Optics, and then Lulo with Lone Wolf and Heroic, going very offensive, not only with Ray, but also ZZ with the Proton Rockets, and then bring in good old Lulo back for some additional firepower.
It kind of seems like a trend that we're seeing in some of these lists that are trying to answer the Nantex is having an opportunity somewhere in your list to punch something harder than usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that opportunity to just, if I can get this lined up like once, even just with one ship, can punch really hard and sway the game back my way instead of just going with the normal flow and having to deal with Nantex, similar to how you would deal with 5As and just having to take the barrage and seeing the spike damage that you could do normally. They're trying to increase that.
All right. And next, Bartosz's list.
And you want me to take this one too?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Bartosz, normally a 5 A-Wing flyer, decided to go with Dash Rendar as well. They actually flew a Dash with a VCX, not the same Hera, though. This time we got Chopper with passive sensors, Saw Gerrera, and Zeb Crew. And then Dash, a little more beefed up than the previous Dash, having Trick Shot, Bistan, Perceptive Co-Pilot, and retaining the Outrider.
Marcel, I feel like you have some thoughts on the list. I could see it.
No, I like the list. I was just saying, like, you kept on saying, like, it's called the Dash Get Into the Chopper.
That's right, Dash in the Chopper. So Bartosz here really relying on hitting really hard, not only bringing Bistan to shoot twice, but Bistan with the trick shot, hopefully even maybe ignoring the obstacle with Outrider, getting 5 dice attacks. I will tell you, we did get him on stream one time, and seeing the destructive power of that list was absolutely amazing. No spoilers on whether he won or lost the game. You have to watch the game when it comes on YouTube. But definitely an interesting match to watch and seeing the tools that are in this list. Any other thoughts on this one before we keep going?
Yeah, I think it's kind of an intricate. It makes the Dash, some of the other ones we saw that had Outrider and Trick Shot missing, mm-hmm. but the more reliable Hera with advanced sensors, it's kind of an interesting, which way you go, because this one probably hits just as hard because you're moving first, you're guaranteeing your action, but you don't have a dorsal turret. And more importantly, I think, the Hera one, you just have the opportunity to nuke something, especially a bug, at initiative 4. So you're getting your 3 shots at initiative 5 off, where this one you're having to wait.
You are. And you're also having that tech, though, for Chopper. For anybody who doesn't know, ships at range 0 get double jammed. And I think the call for Chopper is probably tech versus not Nantex, but maybe Imperial Aces or other ships that rely on a lot of tokens. The token stacking be great against defenders, just automatically stripping a focus evade if you can get that block. Seems like good tech if you can get the block off.
Well, so the confusing part when I think about Chopper is if Chopper causes the block, they're not doing actions anyway. So the double jam, unless you're taking something that was saved or coordinated to them, doesn't really do much. So I really would be curious as to why he chose Chopper, maybe not even like a Lothal Rebel.
Anti-Soontier tech. Because Soontier can still get
it's
a focus.
Yeah, that's the one that, anti-Soontier.
That's the first one that comes to my mind. I'm not sure outside of that.
Initiative 1 defenders. I mean, there's a couple things. Or Vader, if Vader had a target lock and you bump him, he can't get that target lock back. I mean, there's a couple things, but they cost the same thing as a Lothal, so.
Oh, it's the same? All right, I've never paid attention to the cost.
Bonus!
It's a free ability.
There it is. I like it. All right. Next, I'll go ahead and take the next one. So Kester Smith with the First Order list. Hollow appears again. Again, I think we talked about it when the TIE BA came out. Hollow is the best. Hands down, the best TIE Baron of them all. Yes, people like that Initiative 6 on Von Reg, but Hollow is the answer. With Proud Tradition and Pattern Analyzer, Muse with Proud Tradition and also Pattern Analyzer, and then we're bringing 4 TIE FOs. One of them is Lieutenant Revis, being able, I believe that is the one that dishes out target locks or gets target locks. I'll look up the ability here in a minute, unless one of you guys could just jump in with it. And three Epsilon Squadron cadets.
Revis acquires a target lock on an enemy ship within range 1 to 2 that just received a red or orange token, I believe. I know for sure red.
It does work on orange tokens, so tractors and disarms as well.
Okay.
It's a ship, so technically can be friendly if that ever becomes a thing in the future.
I like it. I like it. All right, so yeah, a TIFO salad, or a TIE, excuse me, a first order salad. Lots of different tech here. Five TIFOs there. Muse able to relieve some of the stress. What do you think the function of Muse is in the list? Obviously, we know that it relieves stress. I think it's during the start of engagement, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, which is the same timing as Hollow's ability. So if Hollow does a red maneuver, Hollow can not worry about having someone turn the Proud Tradition over and still be able to do a red maneuver the next turn and just yeet the stress over to Muse.
There you go. I like it. I like it. So pretty cool. Pretty cool list there. And here we go. Daryl McDowell. Take it, Will. That's what we were talking about earlier a little bit.
Oh, yeah. This is the interesting five scimitars. Those are the Imperial bombers. He's got four concussion missiles, four proxy mines, four skilled bombardiers for those proxy mines, one of them having diamond boron missiles, and another one having seismic charges. So I think diamond borons are just as good as concussion missiles, so that makes sense to me to at least swap in one of those. And the skilled bombardier proxy mines can really, combined with the nimble bomber ability of the TIE bomber, can really put those proxy mines exactly where you need to block lanes and beaver tail some other ships. That's what it looks like to me, just beaver tail slap.
I like it. And you know what, the bombers can really, I'm just trying to think about the Nantex matchup, can do probably a great job with the number of proximity mines you have there, creating a lot of no-go zones for those Nantex, especially with that the bank ability to drop them. I like that. All right. So, Daryl, if you're out there, I'd like to pick your brain. I think I might try to fly this one for funsies during League Night this Wednesday. I like that. All right. Marcel, next. Take Tom.
I think we lost Will, by the way. He's frozen on my screen. All right. So, next is Tom Fieldsend with another 555 list from the Resistance. It is Ray with Heightened Perception, Rose Tico, Corsair Villa, Finn, and the title. Tally with Marksmanship, Prockets, and Advanced Optics. And then ZZ with Heroic Marksmanship, the Mag Pulse Warhead, and Advanced Topic. Advanced Optic. So he's got the mag pulse to jam and get the crit in, and then five dice from the bullseye tally. Just more ways to get initiative four ships, or even initiative five ships, because you're shooting at the same time as other initiative fives off the table as fast as possible. So, just question about this. Mm-hmm. With this, are we looking at much of a, I know we have a race to the bottom initiative-wise with Initiative 4 because of the Nantex. They're trying to get, outbid each other.
Right.
Are we looking at the same thing with Initiative 5, with everybody trying to go Initiative 5 now to beat the Initiative 4 Nantex? Are they...
I feel like there's always a bid war at I-5 no matter what. It's just a matter of what's pushing that war down further.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess the old Boa Fen was 13, 14 points. Now you're looking at maybe like 4 or 5 points.
Yeah.
Initiative 5.
So I think one of the problems now with trying to go too low with Initiative 5 is you need to have now enough tech. We talked about that, having that big punch in your list. Now you're thinking, hey, I need to have that extra proton rocket. I need to have that extra upgrade in my list that's going to help me push through damage against the six Nantex list or some variation on it. I don't think you have the luxury of just starting to rip things out of your list because you're now having to worry about things outside of Initiative 5. So you got to have those tools. It's a must. It's on the card. It's a must. All right. Go ahead. Take the next one, Ryan.
So we have a slight variation on a previous and well-known Sloan version in the Galactic Empire, taken by our Sydney Space Jam champion.
Mm-hmm.
Pronunciation of the name?
Wouter.
Is it Wouter?
It's either or ah. I pronounce it Wouta. I could be completely Wouta. Wrong with that. Yeah.
Okay. No. I'm turning into Ryan Farmer now. Four Academy TIE fighters, and then Rack with Ruthless, Vader, Admiral Sloan, Dauntless, hull upgrade, and I don't think he had this before, Novice Technician. Previously, that hull upgrade and Novice Technician were 000 in BT1, I believe, because I had started flying that list a little bit afterward as well. So went down one more point in the bid and gained a little bit more health and longevity on the board, it seems.
Cool. All right. So, yeah, Wouta looking for some different tech in there. I like it. All right. Next, we have Stefan Gunner. S, not gonna try that last name, Svensson. Out of everybody in the event, he had the lowest bid at 189 points, a total of 11-point bid, taking Darth Vader with hate, fire control, afterburners, then Fifth Brother with hate, passive sensors, and homing missile, soon to fell with crack shot and targeting computer. So I want to bring up a couple of points with this. We had been seeing with Boba Fett in the Boba meta, bids were, we saw people taking 20-point bids. So the floor on bidding has definitely gone up, right? We're only at 11. The choice to take Fifth Brother instead of something like Whisper is how you end up at this point. Of course, the exact build on Whisper doesn't fit with all the toys anymore, but just something interesting to put out there, seeing that 11-point bid. We'll see where it shifts. And I actually didn't look at that number for Corellia, so I'd have to go back and look at it. But just an interesting anecdote. Just saying, that's where the bid is right now at 11. So if you're a person who, when you're playing in these competitive events, you're like, how low do I need to go to like guarantee that I get the choice of who's first and second player? Right now that number is 11. We'll see how much more or less that ends up being. And again, we had already talked about Fifth Brother taking those homing missiles to guarantee some damage. Soon Tier and Vader, they're just good. Just don't get in too many arcs and you should be okay. Will has returned. He has decloaked. And
decloaked.
He is up now with Octa's list.
This is another Separatist list. This is the new points variation on the eight-ship variation we had seen for quite a while, for most of last season. That combination includes two plasma torpedo hyena bombers, three Discord missile-carrying vultures, and three naked vulture droids. So no struts anymore because of the recent changes in points, but you still get three carrying discords, three supporting with calculates, and the two hyenas really hitting hard with long-range shield-stripping attacks. Obviously, flown very well by Octacon, who knows his low-initiative swarms by heart, seems to have given up on the scum ships and gone back to the old classic Separatist, the Vultures. This is interesting to me because this list used to be the old boogeyman, We saw it perform very well when it won a Space Jam. And other than Struts, sure, which is a big difference. This list didn't really lose any firepower in the most recent points change. Taking Nantex out of the equation, or I guess maybe not completely, but is this still a powerful jousting list? And would you be more afraid of this or the traditional Nantex?
Go ahead, Marcel.
I think it depends on what you're flying. If you're flying, like some of the big, we're talking about big alpha strikes to get stuff off the board. This one is one of those lists that you don't mind losing stuff before you start shooting, especially, those Discord missile ones, because those Discord missile guys, basically they get to shoot before, basically at initiative 7 at the start of the engagement phase. So I don't think it's that big a deal. As far as, I think it's just as good. It's just not good against the current Boogeyman, because the current Boogeyman, they don't have any shields to strip with those protons. It's just a regular 3-die attack.
With the plasma, and, yeah.
Exactly. And then they're mobile enough to not have to worry about the Discord missiles. They're never going to be in Discord missile range. You can't even block them into it, because they'll just track to themselves somewhere where you can't reach them. So I think if it's not for the Nantex, this would still be the Boogeyman out there.
I do think it's still obviously a really powerful jousting list. You just... losing the Struts is a tool that can be used knowledge-wise. Like, opposing player knows this list cannot have Struts. There is more there's less places that these droids can be than they used to be. Do you recall, was Octocon on stream at all? Do you recall what obstacles he had taken, or did either of you two face him?
I can get access to that as you guys can continue. I'll let you guys know.
I'm assuming the smallest rocks. Just my guess.
That would be my guess too. Little tiny mustache and little guys. Because you don't want to bring gas clouds, because you don't want the reduced strain, and you don't want to give aces the strain either, or the additional defensive bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys didn't talk long enough for me to get it.
is this the best droid swarm out there? I don't know. I think Marcel, Will, and myself, we had recently been in a team event, and that incorporated the new points, and I think everyone kind of saw a 7 ship that did have all the tools, and instead of 2 hyenas, it was 3 that seemed still pretty good. Not sure if it's more or less better against the field, whether you're thinking about not just zoning it on Nantex, but thinking about the field of what you have to face, what is more equipped to handle it.
Yeah, I think also what you're seeing a lot of is just the, moving away early on when you had the first versions of these being the bad boys in town, was heavily reliant on Kraken and tactical relays and the abilities Will You Flew What, Captain Sear, and things like that. And now you're getting rid of all the toys and just, figuring out 8 ships with the ability to pass tokens around is good enough. I think in that same team tournament, we took 181 point 8 ship. Separatist swarm, because we knew you have 8 ships out there that are sharing tokens. They're still gonna do well. You don't need all the toys necessarily. Just the Discords, I think, are probably the only auto includes in there.
So confirmed, they were the 3 smallest rocks. They were the 3 smallest rocks. All right, let's keep going through the party. Next, we have Elias with a Galactic Republic list.
I'm not sure if any of us know who's up next.
I believe it is Marcel.
Alrighty then. So you got Anakin Skywalker on the Delta 7 with the Delta 7 title, Hell upgrade. And I don't know what R4P17 is. Which one is that one? Is that the.
Add an analyzer. Do okay, a red move, get a free action.
Okay. Coming in at 98 points. That is a thick, thick Anakin. With Gold Squadron, basically with four torrents. Obviously, he did well enough. I mean, he, you know, I don't even know where we're at in top whatever, but I think he must have made top 16 with this. Yeah, I mean, it's simple but effective. I'd probably like to see regen on Anakin. That's that expensive, but. You know, he's got the hull in there, so it kind of counts like one regen.
He did. So. He did top 16. He was 5-1 going into the cut.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically you have to have a very solid ace play, and then your torrents are just kind of, you know, small little efficient ships, similar to like the FO and things like that. Just. Trying to shrug off shots and take the focus away from Anakin.
And I think something that probably helps these torrents in a Nantex specific matchup is the fact that they do have that barrel roll evade basically every turn. As I'm imagining every turn, they're just kind of moving, take up a little space, make sure you have those arcs spread out. You're assuming that the Nantex are taking the tractor, in order to lower their agility, having a chance to maybe get some damage through, but I'm sure that evade probably helps. All right, next we have Timo Herzl. Ryan, read me a bedtime story.
Well, this bedtime story comes with Nantex. We got Timo running a slight variation of Nantex. It retains the 198 points while having five of the Petronaki Arena Aces, all with Crackshot and Predator. But instead, the sixth one is Gorgol at 28 points, the I2, who we've seen weaved in these lists before, a lot of times with Intimidation, designed to be the blocker to help the other Nantexes set up their shots better.
So this is something that I think we're going to continue to see, at least up until in Concord Dawn, is the evolution of just the straight six Nantex. I know, of course, that the winner of our event does end up having just six Nantex, but seeing the experimentation is always really interesting, and I'm sure we're going to keep seeing people try to figure out how to move some of these upgrades and ships around to get different variations that might be better in either a mirror-like match or in the field. Now, I get to talk about a great player, someone who I know very well, Marcel Manzano. He's a pretty cool guy. We talked about his list earlier, Wedge, Luke, and AP5. And Marcel, so you said you had been playing this for quite a while, right? Like this is a list that you've been on, or at least a variation on it for more than a year.
Swapped out because of the you know, I used to have double regen, and I found out that better than regenerating is not getting shot at all. So the afterburners are better than the regen, and swapped out sense for instinctive aim because. That's basically just for Sunterfell. If Sunterfell wants to walk in there and get in, I'll just take a focus and throw four dice at him. But yeah, I've been flying this for a while. I don't think, you know, this list lives and dies on the opening engagement. If you get a good opening engagement, you're probably in the game. If you get an engagement where only one of your ships is shooting, or you leave one of your ships out in the bubble, there's still X-Wings and they'll still die in... Mm-hmm. XY knows, I saw them. They'll still die in one turn. So, yeah, but it's definitely a solid list. Your Wedge can erase things like, I think, no other ship in the game.
I'm sure that feels good, rolling dice, you know, single agility Nantex probably feels good.
Yep.
All right, next we got James Ritter with a Republic list. I think we only had a total of two Republic in the top 32, if I'm not mistaken. And this is the other one. James also flew this, and I think did pretty well in Corellia. Wolf with Intimidation, Luminara with CLT, Padme and Anakin with Passive Sensors and Proton Torpedoes. We do have him playing this list on stream for this event, and I believe another time before. Take a look at it. Lots of protection in this list with Luminara and Padme's ability together. Lots of defensiveness. And we did see him take on Enantek's list, if I'm not mistaken. No. He played against the Aggressors. Which, yes, you heard me say Aggressors. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let's keep it going here. Will.
Ooh, this one hurts.
Yeah. I did that on purpose.
I bet. This was my bubble match. Very tight game. Mario was flying the First Order with Hollow, Proud Tradition, and three I-1 silencers. Silencers, very good, it turns out, with their ability to double reposition or focus reposition, plus Hollow. Who, Mario, smartly, in our game, had used him more than once as a support ship, slinging an evade out to one of the silencers who was going to get focused down in the bullseyes. And it appears he flew it well enough. Where are we in now? Are we in top 16?
We are in, this is the first person in the top 8.
Top 8! Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah,
pulled it off.
Was able to go. I believe he entered the cut 5-1. Yes, entered the cut at 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to roll through a couple here. We have William McDavid bringing a variation on the 6 Nantex. The difference here is he's bringing crack shot and marksmanship on 5 of them, and 1, instead of being the initiative 4, we're going down to, I believe, is initiative 2 with the stall gas in, is it 3? Thank you, Ryan. The stall gas in hive guard. So what are your guys' thoughts on the marksmanship decision? I don't know. William, I don't know if you're here in the chat, McDavid. I know he does tune in.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I actually, he's the one that beat me in the top 16. It was a really good close match. That's one of those scenarios where X-Wings pop when they probably shouldn't pop. But I actually thought that, because I also played Will flying the Predator Crackshot version, and the Predator, I just felt the Predator Crackshot version was just better.
Mathematically, but, it is, right? You have more options.
Yeah,
this is just a different tool.
Bid, it's a 194, and I like, you know, we were talking while we were playing, when he was explaining to me, like, why he made the choices he made, you know, with the 194 having a pretty strong bid, and basically using the Stegosin, the lower initiative one, to be able to do the blocks. And that way he can still move first, get his blocks off, and have enough of a bid to reposition his initiative force to get the bullseye. It's a solid reasoning. I like it. And in the mirror match, it's probably very effective in the mirror match, but versus the rest of the field, it probably struggles a little bit more to push the damage. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're taking the mirror match into consideration, and you're probably doing better in the mirror match at the expense of, you know, what you might do in some of the other ones. Even though I would hate to be a VCX.
Oh man! Ouch!
crit!
All right, and next we got Ryan's going to take this one, and I would say out of all the lists in the top 32, this is the one where I see a lot of people going, "Ooh, this one's shiny." Take it, Ryan.
Tis shiny. It is the Galactic Empire 192, so an 8-point bid. All for I-4 ships, which again has been driven likely by the Nantex. We have Seventh Sister in the TIE Advanced V-1. We have Fifth Brother with fire control system and homing missile. And then two Sigma Squadron Ace Phantoms with crack shot. Phantoms, for some reason, just kind of dropped off. And I think it's a good time to take a look at them. They always have their unique movement and hard to pin down. Their stat profile with those evades, still very good. And then that really scary, dangerous combination of the homing missile and Fifth Brother interaction is always something to be concerned about. Draws a lot of fire. And then Seventh Sister having that full arc crack shot ability if your opponent decides to ignore her. But if they go after her, she's just like a mini Grand Inquisitor, super hard to kill.
Really a fan of this list. Sammy, we were able to catch them playing on stream. It was really good.
Yeah, I'd like to see the passive sensor on Fifth Brother. Is that 2 points also? Or is it different points?
It is 2 points.
It is also 2 points.
Yeah, but I like the list a lot too. But I'd probably go with passive just to scare the initiative 5 and 6s out there that would want to try to, you know, bully this around.
I could feel Will's heart disagreeing with you. Will, you're on team fire control, aren't you?
Or is I'm that on just team for fire Vader, control, right? But I'm pretty much all the time. I mean, I can't deny that if you need locks and you got low, if you need locks, you know, I5 and I6, passive sensors is discount affordable right now at only 2 points. So I still like fire control system, though. It creates an in-game situation to where he can still be putting out damage without the homing missiles and without using force.
Cool. Yeah, very great match. We got it on stream. Definitely suggest watching it. Really well played. And my favorite thing about these Phantoms in the Phantom versus Nantex matchup is that the Phantom can move in a way that is hard for the Nantex to cover, right? Because you can end up getting those Phantoms with a decloak on the side of the Nantex, where they might have to either they either can't rotate their arc that way, or they're having to make difficult decisions in order to you know, they're splitting up their formation, they're starting to get less than 3 or 4 shots on a specific target. Really great. Watch the game. Also really able to make kill boxes pretty easily as well. We have here Charlie taking another variation on the Nantex with taking 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, of the aces, with Gravitic Deflection and Crack Shot, along with General Grievous and Soulless One. Oh, sorry, also one of them has Marksmanship, and that's sitting at 197. And then we get to the next one. Will, go ahead and take this Philippe's list, TIE Aggressor Hype. Oh, did I miss something?
I would like to point out why Gravitic Deflection might be a good call.
Go for it.
Gravitic Deflection, while there is, it's a lot of points right now. Well, it's 5, but it's more than your average upgrades you see on these Nantex. It's while you defend, you may reroll 1 defense die for each tractor ship in the attack arc. So if it's Nantex versus Nantex, it's any ship, friend or foe. So if you put it on all your ships, it's not even you that need to be the one that's tractored. It's anything in the attack arc. So a 3-die Nantex could still get a reroll if one of its friends is in the attack arc that's tractored. Now, it's probably unlikely that they go after the ship, but if he's weaker and more likely to be half points or almost dead, you're telling your opponent, hey, you either shoot my tractor guy who's getting a reroll with Gravitic Deflection, or you shoot my not tractor guy who's almost dead but has a reroll because you have both of them in the arc.
Mm-hmm. All the rerolls, yeah.
Yeah, the only time it doesn't work, you can see that Charlie took a 197 to beat out the regular 198 because if an opposing Nantex can choose to only use his bullseye and might actually get around some of those gravitic deflections.
Yep, that is very true.
And Will, go ahead, take aggressor hype. Can we please mention the fact that my bold prediction came true? I said on the last show. I said on the last show, bold prediction, Ty Aggressor's in the top 32, and Philippe is like, no, fam, I'm going to do way better than that. Philippe got all the way into the top four with Ty Aggressor's. And after you talk about this list, I got a question. Go for it.
All right, well, let's break it down here. So, as been hyped, five Ty Aggressor's, that's Sinar Specialist I2s with dorsal turrets, that's 28 points apiece for a 180 degree two dice attack, leading them in the Ty Reaper is Captain Farroff, whose ability says that he gets an evade conversion if they don't have any tokens. So if they already spent it on the attack, or if got jammed, blocked, all those things. Makes him pretty tanky. This has Ruthless, so you can get some extra modifiers on offense. Sloan, which has really been the clutch piece lately, and a hull upgrade. So just trying to get this Reaper alive as long as possible while providing those bonuses out to the aggressors.
Now, one of the questions I saw floating around a lot, of course, when people saw that the Ty Aggressor went as well as it did, there was a lot of like, oh, this is super cool. Does this mean I can fit it in this list, that list? But then a question that started popping up was, yes, the Aggressor is super efficient for its points. In fact, probably one of the most efficient with the dorsal turret on there. But is it Sloan that made the Aggressors more powerful in this list? Let me restate that. Is this list a Sloan list, or is it an Aggressor list?
Oh, it's a Sloan list for sure. The being able to, so you lose one, so you only got four, whatever. But that ship now is double stressed, can't get away, and you have now nine arcs, counting the dorsals, to be able to try to put onto it. So with the dorsals, should make that very easy. You don't have to point directly at them. You just kind of pull up alongside of them. And the consistent rerolls or double modification of Sloan and a focus is probably what's really pushing through the damage of this list. I doubt it's Farroff's range one, four dice attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know for some of you guys are like, oh, of course it's a Sloan list, but you have to ask the question, because I did see people all of a sudden start trying to put fill aggressors into other spots, which I wouldn't be surprised if someone finds another spot where it works. I mean, we played that list on League Night where I took how many of them? Six of them with a bomber, and was that what it was, Ryan? And
yeah, six and a bomber.
It wasn't bad. Like, I think I would want to move some things around if I had an opportunity to play that list again. But like, there's something there, but you can't deny how much better these aggressors get when you have the modifiers and just the threat of Sloan out there in a list.
Yeah, Ryan, I like first time's caller here. Is Farroff the best Sloan carrier? I think last week you did a list of the week in hand, knee-jerked to Farroff as the Sloan carrier right away. What's your thoughts on it?
So, what's actually funny is I think the list of the week last week was very, very close to this, because they had originally just made a Scarif-based pilot with Sloan and had a lot of points left over with the five dorsal turret aggressors. And I said, you can have two main options. Because the aggressors have a lock, you could put Sloan in Jendin, or you can do Captain Farroff, who is really tanky, surprisingly, because it's very often that people will go for the offense on their shot, spending their focus offensively to get damage through. And when you do that, Farroff just automatically gets the result to be an evade. Now, does this make Farroff the best Sloan carrier? I don't think so, but I'm not saying it can't be. It 100% depends on how many ships you want to have in your Sloan list. because it depends on the amount of points you want to have left over for your list. So we've seen in the past that a Scarif-based pilot with Sloan, with four TIE fighters and two interceptors, had also done very well during the Space Jam. And that still fits now. We also see that Rack carrying Sloan with a bunch of upgrades with Vader crew and four TIE fighters also has worked really well. So Captain Farhoff is probably one of the top ones just to help keep Sloan active. The Reaper is very fast and can decide to disengage because Sloan is still helping out. But is it the best overall? I just think it's whatever, what kind of list do you want to build? How many points do you want to have left for the rest of your ships?
Additionally, with the cost being a little bit lower on Farhoff compared to something like a shuttle or a, specifically a decimator, that Ruthless on Farhoff was used a lot. Because what ended up happening is you keep Farhoff in the back, and just because of ailerons, you end up bumping quite a bit. And it was really interesting to see the opportunities that Philip took to use Ruthless on his Sinars, giving them damage in order to modify his shot, and usually getting four hits at range one happen one time. And then you have these aggressors limping out there saying, hey, you could shoot them if you want. You might kill it, though. It creates a puzzle for the opponent that I find really interesting. So, just props to Philippe for making the aggressors do some work and finding a list that works really well and making me look smart. So I appreciate you. All righty. Now we have a couple of lists left. Marcel, take this one. This one's from Tim.
Spam text.
Not spam text.
Trade Federation drone. I know. It's Trade Federation drone, three of them, with Discord missiles and grappling struts. And then you have two bombardment drones with proximity mines, landing struts, followed up by Crack Shot, Solus One, General Grievous. I happen to like this list a lot. I personally would probably find... I'm not a big Separatist Swarm. I don't have a lot of fun with them. Mm-hmm. Like that other one that's really good with three Discords, two Plasmas, and three Generics. This is something that I can get behind. I actually like this a lot. Just I like Grievous and what Grievous brings to it, and you just get a lot more variety with the proximities, the Discords. You lose a couple ships, three ships, but I think what you get in return is a lot better. Obviously, he made top four, so yeah, I think it's a solid list. It's more than a solid list. It's obviously a top four list, but it's what I personally would find more fun playing if I was playing this type of if I was playing the Separatist.
All right, now our top three lists. So Tim was third. We get to the top two, our final two. These were both variations on the six Nantext. We had Andrew, the runner-up, who took four of them with Crackshot and Predator and two Crackshots, building all the way to 200, going at one end of the spectrum that we talked about last week, and then Fawn on the opposite side, not bidding as low as he could, but taking some tech out, being at 196, and we saw in the final, which if you are one of our Twitch subscribers, you can still watch that right now for the next 14 days. It's going to get on YouTube eventually. Our producer Nick will take care of that here in the in the coming week or so. But the big advantage is the fact that he got to adjust Fawn, being the second player, got to adjust to what he saw Andrew do, and that is really what killed him. Now, one thing that was interesting was throughout the match, most of the time, these guys were just trading ships. I get a ship, you get a ship, but the maneuverability options that Fawn had gave him usually like a ship and a half. And it was this slow gap that started opening between their scores that ended up with Fawn being the winner and snowballing there. So congratulations to Fawn. But now I want to talk about our mindset going forward, because I'm going to be honest here. I got a combination of irritated and and like eye-rolly at some of the posts I saw out there just saying that like it's like the sky was falling because of Nantex. Is it a good squad? Yes, absolutely. It's S tier. Is it something you have to plan for? Yes. But when I see posts like people saying like I'm not playing X-Wing anymore because of Nantex, like I'm just like, really? Like literally the game is built to have adjustable points. Like there's ways to solve this. But I want to put that PSA out there first, is let's be creative. And I brought you a list of lists that beat Nantex squads that were 4-2 or better. Okay? Now, another thing, you cannot discount Fawn is an amazing player. Like, I've seen him play quite a bit, other lists. He usually brings top-tier lists, things that are known, like, hey, this is an S-tier list. You go, well, I'll take it. I'll put my little flavor on it, drop an upgrade here or switch something there, and then just fly it absolutely well. I believe he's out of the Netherlands, just top-tier European player. Same thing, Andrew, I believe he's French. Another great player. You got to be careful when you're talking about lists, because the reaction that you're having most of the time, people forget that a person was on the other end of that and saying they had to make the decisions that got them the win. You don't just put the list out there and win the match, because we had Nantex players who went 2-4. Okay, like that. The list that guarantees you nothing. It just gives you tools. Now, what are the lists that beat Nantex that were 4-2 or better? So, droids, which we talked about here. Droid swarms, the 6 vultures, 2 hyenas that we just hit from Tom. Double phantoms, double TIE V1s, Sammy's list. And then here are some more interesting ones that these lists themselves did not get into the cut or in that cut range, but they beat people who were in the cut range. We had a Han and Leia list. We had other Nantex squads, of course, beating it. We had a Fen, Han, and double tugboat list beat two, not one, but two different Nantex lists. Hollow and the 3 interceptors we talked about. A triple E-wing squad beat a Nantex list. Poe, Finn, and 2 A-Wings beat a Nantex list. Rey, Han, and Finn beat a Nantex list. These are all lists that beat Nantex that were in the range to make the cut. So I wanted to bring this up just to tell you guys, the sky isn't falling, but you might have to adjust your play style, which I think that's where the feels bad comes from. As people say, but I want to fly what I want to fly, and my thing isn't good against Nantex. And I think that's where some of the emotions come in. Now, I'll shut up for a little bit. Marcel, I know you want to say something. Go.
Yeah. I'm half and half, right? I'm half and half, mostly because... you know, actually, Will and I spent earlier in the week, just because he wanted to test them out, and we spent some time playing and seeing like how things perform. And I can see the people that well, a couple things. One of them is, out of the top 8, 4 of the top 8 were Nantex, you know, versions of the Nantex. And the only reason that 2 of them were eliminated is because they were eliminated by 2 other Nantex lists. So we could have very easily had a top 4 Nantex. So let's kind of put that out there, that the 2 Nantex that got kicked out of the top 8 were kicked out by other Nantex. Now, when I played against Will, and while, you know, playing different things, it became very evident for me, like the huge difference in efficiency, of course, but also when I played him with lists that either didn't have the ability to nuke something out in one turn, or just tank a lot. When I say tank a lot, it's like, you know, be able to survive maybe a couple rounds of getting shot at. Mm-hmm. It was a wipe. I think, you know, I think in one game, you know, I flew the initiative 2 SFs, and William just completely nuked them, and I traded my entire list for 1 damage I did to your ships. I think it was really bad. However, when I flew the high initiative, you know, then I flew Luke Wedge against them, and I squeaked out a win barely, but I squeaked out a win, and I felt like, okay, I can play with this. I can manage this. I think one of them is that, yes, they are overly efficient. And
agreed.
You can't just outplay them if you have certain lists. They automatically eliminate some lists, unfortunately. And those are lists that basically have low initiative ships that don't have a way to either token stack or don't have a way to put out enough damage at, you know, with their high initiative aces to make the difference. At some point, especially if you start losing, it's one of those scenarios where you feel like you're drowning, and you know you're drowning, and no matter how hard you doggy pedal or whatever, you tread water, you know you're still drowning. Like, right. it comes to a point with them that, you know, once you start getting behind, there's nothing you can do. And they're just Nantecs. They're 34-point Nantecs, but it might as well be Sunterfell out there, because you can't really do anything. So I think that's what makes it feel so bad. But having said that, I don't anticipate, you know, for example, what's the next one? New York?
Australia. Concord Don.
Okay, Australia. I don't anticipate, you know, there being the same percentage of ones that make the finals versus the ones that don't. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to have more, you know, 2 tournaments in a row. It's one, you know, it becomes one of those self-fulfilling prophecies where, you know, ships start doing well. So more people start flying and more people. And we had 14 people this time, and next time you'll probably have, you know, a bigger percentage of the total people flying it, which means there's also going to be a bigger percentage of the people not flying it well, and you being able to beat those. And also a more percentage of the people just kind of like biting bullet and going with something that can beat it, like, you know, the Dash, the Lando, Leia, Han, you know, things like that, that you know can have a good matchup against it. That's what I ended up doing this week. I was going to go with Hollow and 4 SFs. I just didn't feel like Hollow and 4 SFs had a good matchup, so I ended up, you know, just like I said, biting the bullet and mm-hmm. saying, I'm going to switch my list to something that I know that can compete.
All right. Now, here's the next topic or thing in this thread that I want to bring up. We also got to remember that there is change very close on the horizon. Ryan was super excited to talk about the LAT today. We're not going to have time. We're going to be hitting that next week. But we do have coming up for Crate, so not in Concord Dawn, but the week after Concord Dawn, the new ships drop, and then the week after that is Crate. And those new ships, the HMP gunship, the LAT, and the Psy Shuttle are all going to be legal. We don't know what the points are on there. I'm expecting to see people experiment, which is going to get things to move around. Of course, people will still fly Nantecs, but there's a couple of different scenarios that can happen. We see the points of these new ships and say, oh, wow, these are really great. And the meta completely changes in an instant. Like, we have a lot of change coming on the horizon. And I know there's a lot of people excited about those new ships. Additionally, here was a question that got brought up to me. And I'm going to give you my answer first and then kind of dive into some of the possibilities. Somebody asked me, he said, Dion, because FFG has no way to officially recognize TTS events for their data, you know, would you be willing to change points yourself for your events? My answer initially is absolutely not. I'm not willing to do that because that can cause confusion and a rift in the community that I'm out. No. Okay. And the only timeline I ever make points is if the game is no longer if the game becomes complete. That is the point at which I would do something like that, which of course we hope is very, very far away. But anyway, you know, FFG does have an opportunity, possibly, while I don't think it will happen, they have an opportunity to make a change with the release of the upcoming new ship's points and simply say, after internal testing, we realized XYZ, so we raised the points on these ships a little bit. They don't have to cite a source, but I would be very surprised if FFG Hymax didn't at least have an eye on List Juggler. List Fortress is what it's called now. List Fortress, and say, huh, that's interesting. I know, because they have a community manager whose job it is to monitor social media. I guarantee you Nantex is written on Matt Hotlin's notebook right now. I guarantee you it is. All right? Matt, don't make me look bad. Write it now if you haven't yet. but yeah, you know, there's definitely some possibilities there. And I know that one thing that got cited was, there are other games where communities have taken, have done major changes like that because of problems. And that might be the case, but I'm not willing to take that road, at least not at the moment. Ryan, I'll give you the opportunity here real quick. What is something in the upcoming waves that you think could either have, even though we don't know points, something that could have a good answer to the Nantex?
Specifically an upcoming wave. There's not really something in there that goes, yes, this thing helps exactly with the Nantex. There's just stuff in there that helps, like in the Z shuttle, we know Agent Terex looks awesome. Getting a calculate token to a friendly TIE FO that might need it for offense or defense so that it can have another mod that it took as an action for its actual shot. Cool. That helps. The lat has a lot of force. They pack so much force into this ship.
Can't hold all this force.
So, like, stuff looks really good in there. I'm pretty sure it's going to cost some points, and you'll have to, you know, balance how much do you want to invest in the LAAT gunship to help support your entire list, because by and large it is still a supporting ship. It's not exactly bringing crazy firepower, although we do know, or believe we know, because in the card spread it has the multi-missile pod, which is a two missile slot. They could equip barrage rockets, similar to the droid gunship. They also have two missile slot, but they also have the 180 arc, which is harder for Nantex to escape. They have more health. It's harder for them to be one rounded on an 8 health ship. It's a small ship, so I don't know how many Nantex can get a bullseye on a singular small ship in one round, especially if that gunship is being screened or helped by some other vulture droids. Specifically, the two missile slot is something to look at as well. It's not only an Nantex thing. If you look around at most of the meta, a lot of the spam lists have the same agility value, commonly spammed 3 agility. It was mentioned earlier because it was in a list that did really well with the 5 bombers, but diamond boron missiles probably should be looked at a little more, just as a general piece. All the ships in the game that have two missile slots right now are K-Wings, the OS-1 title gunboats, the Punishers, the upcoming LAT, and the HMP droid gunship. Maybe some of them, because we know...
How dare you forget TIE Aggressors?
TIE Aggressors.
QQ.
The Bactoid prototype Hyena Bomber. And then I assume at least some of the HMP droid gunships. As we know, FFG liked the varied upgrade bar on the Hyena, and I would expect the same on the HMP gunship. So maybe take a look at Diamond Boron missiles. It's not something, you can only take one per list. It's unique. But there are a lot of lists, whether it's the FO spam in the salads, whether it's the Nantex, whether it's droid swarms. A lot of stuff has a lot of the same agility. Now, it doesn't mean that all that stuff is running right next to each other at range one, but if picked at the right turn of engagement, likely the second turn of engagement, that's where everything starts to close in on each other. And a lot of things are range one. Maybe some of your own ships, so be careful with that too.
Watch out. Another point that I want to bring up here with the evolving meta, that one, something that I forgot, we're going to kind of back up in our notes here. Another thing I saw people citing is, well, you know, people wouldn't fly this list in real life. Would you really buy six Nantex? Like, I see that thrown around a lot. Like, oh, people wouldn't buy six Nantex. I think you underestimate the passion of people who want, like, if you want to fly it and we're able to play on the tables, people will buy it. Like, really, they will. Now, will you probably see a little bit less of it in general, like the X-Wing community at large? Yes, most likely. But when it comes to like big competitive events, you also have people who can borrow stuff from each other, saying, hey, you got two Nantex, are you using those? No, great. All right, I have a six Nantex squad now, or some variation on it. So, and also, let's be honest, we're all miniatures players. If you're in this game, you figure out how to get the toys you need. That's whether you need to sell some, trade some, swap, borrow, lease. Who knows? All right, rent to own. You figure it out, and you get the models you need to put on the table if you got to do it. Now, we're going to head into List of the Week. We're actually going to change up the format a little bit just because we're starting to run low on time. We're going to have Marcel do J-Buzz, and then we'll have Will and Ryan take care of Crazy Vulcan's list. Here we go. So, List of the Week, if you're not part of List of the Week, you can actually submit on our Discord. Super easy. Our submissions thread is there. So, we're starting with J-Buzz is a newer player and has joined our community. Welcome to the community, and we want to help them out with their list. So J-Buzz said, I got some peeps at the local who are starting to jump on the Nantex list. What are your thoughts on this? And it's very simple. It's five green squadron A-Wings with heroic and intimidation. Those are the initiative three RZ2 A-Wings. Marcel, what are your thoughts?
All right. And you said that the main concern was the Nantex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first, couple things is that these are Initiative 3s. Nantex are Initiative 4. So they will be able to arc dodge you. And the other thing is that the intimidation, I get the intimidation. You want to block them, move first and block them, and then the problem is that Nantex don't have to fully execute a maneuver. They can partially execute a maneuver, bump, and still take advantage of them. So instead of being one agility less on your terms, they'll be one agility less on their terms and basically get away from your bump. So if you're trying to do five A-Wings, I would say that the easiest thing would just be to get rid of all those intimidations. And by the way, five A-Wings, I think five A-Wings have a pretty decent matchup against the six Nantex. I think they have a uphill climb, but a decent matchup just because they don't necessarily have to joust. They can kind of spread out and shoot at a distance and focus fire on a single ship because they have pretty good time at target. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to take three of those greens. Two of those greens and change them to blues. Initiative ones. Again, if you're playing against, if your main focus is Nantex, it doesn't matter if you're initiative one or three, you might as well save those points because you're still moving. Then put advanced optics on all of them because advanced optics is really nice. We like advanced optics over here. All right. Let's change one of those blues over to Ronith. Just Ronith's ability is really good. Ronith's ability basically allows you to borrow somebody else's focus, either for offense or defense. And if you need it, it'll be there. And he pairs up really well with ZZ. And then the other two is we're going to take the last two greens and change it to ZZ and Tally. And essentially what you're doing here is, let me see if this works out. Actually, I might be changing one more thing here if it allows me to do. No, this is not going to work. Okay. So we'll just leave it like that. The other two greens are supposed to be ZZ and Tally.
Got it.
Or maybe I'm just lagging behind.
No, sorry. I misheard you. So that's you at 200 now.
Okay. Yeah. So basically with this, you've got, you know, your three ships that are moving before them, you know, and bumping them still works. It doesn't work with intimidation because they're just going to roll off of you, but at least it works to prevent them, you know, getting their focuses or their actions and forcing them to track to themselves and have less agility. And then Tally and ZZ is at initiative 5, just going in and sniping them. So that's what I would do if it was just the 5 A-wings. I mean, but let's actually make it a little bit better, specifically for this matchup. So change Ronith to Lulo, so you have 3 initiative 5s.
Okay.
And delete the 2 blues.
Okay.
All right. And add the T-70 Elo Etsy at initiative 5. And then you're going to add black 1 on Elo.
Okay.
And crack shot on all 4 of them. And that should leave you at 200 points. You've got basically 4 initiative 5 ships that he doesn't know where you're going to be. The crack shot helps push that damage in early. Just use those crack shots. Make sure you get your bullseyes in. Get those crack shots in. And then once you knock enough of them out, no matter which ship they targeted, they're going to kill 1 or 2 of your ships automatically because that's what Nantex do. But the ships that are left over, all of these ships have pretty good time on target. Eloetzi gets free Talon rolls or white Talon rolls. So it'll give you pretty good time on target against these things. You'll be able to outfly them, outdamage them. And I don't know. I think it's a pretty solid list. I was actually, when I saw this, I was thinking I was going to have it for myself and fly it. I dropped something.
All right, fantastic. So we end up with Lulo, Tally, and ZZ, all with heroic crack shot and advanced optics, and then Elo Atsy with crack shot, integrated S foils, and the black 1 title. All right, now let's go ahead and yeet it over to Will. Will's going to take a look at a list that was submitted by Crazy Vulcan. So here's what he's got. Right now, as the list stands, we have Han Solo with Corsella. This is another resistance list. Han Solo with Corsella, Cato Conix, Ray Gunner, Contraband Cybernetics, Hull Upgrade, Ray's Millennium Falcon. In a prompt, Crazy Vulcan said, "You may not touch that ship. Do not. You can't change it. You can't pull any upgrades off. You can't add any upgrades. You can't change the pilot. Nothing." Now, at the moment, he's got Logistics Division pilot, that's the Initiative 1, Resistance Transport with Ion Cannon, C-3PO, and R4 Astromech, and then Covenel with Heroic, Leia Organa Crew, and R4 Astromech. He did mention, like, if you can get Leia in there, awesome, but not required. Will, what you gonna do?
All right, well, I think me and Ryan had similar ideas on this. But the first thing I'm doing is, so I am going to keep Leia. Actually, I think it's a really interesting combination with Corsella, specifically making any maneuver on Han's dial be able to be performed as blue, which will clear all of his stress. That's good synergy. What I don't think is good is the Logistics Division pilot. Get him on out of here.
Rip. 40, so you've just gained 47 points.
All right, and I looked at Kaz, not quite enough. I looked at T-70s, too low initiative. So we're going with the A-Wing. I'm going to get Tally for now. I'll explain why once you get loaded up. So Tally is an i5, which is great.
Sorry, I got distracted for a second because there's like breakdancing happening in the reflection of Marcel's window.
It's Spider-Man.
Oh, it's
but keep going.
It's Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. I was wondering what the Spider-Man in the chat was talking about. Okay.
Got it. Okay. All right, so you got Tally.
I got Tally. I'm going to put just start it with Heroic for now because apparently Heroic's good.
Right.
So that leaves me with quite a few points, and now you know me, the classic bad boy of X-Wing. I'm gonna break the rules, and I'm gonna give Han Trick Shot.
How dare you? How dare you? You've broken the sacred trust.
His Han Solo. So the reason I like Trick Shot and why I'm opting for a worse supporting ship is because I just love the Corsella combination. What kind of look at that dial? Show everybody that dial for just 1 second. Now there's the core. Oh my god. What's the other crew member's name?
Cadel Connex.
Cadel Connex. Thank you. Cadel Connex normally lets on. Go from a blue to bank to a, or excuse me, from a white to hard to a white to bank in either direction because it increases your difficulty, but the two banks are already blue, so no problem. But with Leia out there, combination, you can clear stress, you can clear multiple stress on a hard three. And if you happen to hard three onto a three, you can clear that stress as well and get an action. I just feel it lends so much to hide behind gas clouds and hide behind, or not gas clouds, debris specifically, because you're always clearing that stress. That Han might as well have Trick Shot. He's a big old turret anyways. So how many points does that leave me then?
You are at 194.
I want some bids, so I'll probably... I think I just had optics on Tally there. Not the best upgrade for her, because she's normally pretty defensive out there. But she can go off on the flank and hopefully help out Han or Kova, who are already getting extra defensive dice between hiding from rocks and Kova doing red maneuvers, that she could even help out and give them even more defensive dice.
Awesome. So ending with Han with a bonus Trick Shot, Kova with Heroic, Leia, R4 Astromech, and then Tally with Heroic and Optics. And Ryan, what would be your flavor real quick here before we sign off?
Mine is super easy. Scrap that logistics division pilot,
mm-hmm.
just like Will did. But mine, we keep the Han as Crazy Vulcan desires, and we just put in the most popular and most effective resistance ship, ZZ, on the A-Wing with advanced optics. 2 points left, so your choice of crack shot, heroic, whatever you want to do. ZZ is just too efficient for the points right now. I believe someone did some data on the Dathomir event, and I think like 90 plus some resistance lists had ZZ in it. It was almost
90%, yeah, for sure. Yep, exactly. If you're flying resistance, usually ZZ isn't far behind.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, I want to say thank you so much to everyone for hanging out with us, learning a little bit about Dathomir, the meta that was there. Hopefully, you're feeling a little better, and we've relieved some of the stress with the Nantex. Yes, it's good. Yes, it's good. But change is literally on the horizon. We got one more event with our current meta, which, in my opinion, is still evolving. Like, it's it's only been two events. It's only been two major events. Yes, I know you guys have your like local leagues you guys are playing in, pickup matches and things like that. But remember, in those pickup matches, especially pickup, your local leagues might be different, but in your in pickup matches, just don't. If you're worried about a certain type of list and that you don't want to fly against it, you don't have to in a pickup game. Just don't. Just be like, hey, I'm looking to play against anything except Spantech because I want to play X-Wing, but I don't want to worry about that. Just be upfront about it instead of having to endure some of that. And if you do want to play against it and practice it, then say, hey, looking for someone to play spam techs against me or this variation. Who's out there? Maybe a local, maybe a squad buddy. But thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Any shout outs before we leave? Marcel, any shout outs?
Shout out to all my opponents. I had fun with every last one of them. And even the ones that I lost, it was still a lot of fun. I enjoyed every game. So, and shout out to you. Shout out to you for just putting together another good event. You're getting these down like clockwork, man. Well done.
Got to keep them moving, man. Got to keep them moving. Will?
I got a shout out to the Vassal team tournament winners, TBD. pretty sure they have locked in the wins here. That's the 108th, but okay. Ended up beating me and Marcel's teammate the other night, and I heard that Marcel had gotten beat by them as well. So their win is all but locked in, and I thought we had a great run, Marcel, in what was a very interesting tournament. And honestly, I think the only real hyperspace event I was doing for last season's points. So it was interesting for me as well. But I thought we did great, Marcel.
You're not off the hook, man.
I'm still playing my game.
Just because we lost, you're not off the hook. You got to keep us from getting swept.
Oh, no. I play tomorrow. He's got to set up first, so I'll put all my eight vultures. It's vultures on vultures, by the way. So gonna be real fun. But he sets up first, so I get to just line up across from him. So should be easy.
There you go.
great event. Looking forward to the next one.
Ryan, any squad up videos go up recently?
Just going over the most recent trailer that was released for the story, which was about a week plus ago. I'm working on my next video that I'm trying to have out by the end of the week, so look forward to that.
All right, make sure you guys subscribe to Squad Up. And, you know, Will, your ability to segue today has been absolutely fantastic. I really want to commend you talking about hyperspace list. Will hyperspace matter anytime soon was basically your question. And all I have to say is that the answer is yes. So thanks for watching, everybody. Love you guys. Be safe. Be smart. Gold Squadron. See you on Wednesday for League, and then Saturday for Flight Club, and then Monday again, and then Wednesday again, and then Saturday. At that point, it's Concordon. Talk to you later. Gold Squadron out.